Well, good morning, church. It is good to be with you today. I have an awful lot to talk about, but Matt says I've only got 16 seconds. That Matt, he's just a taskmaster, so he is. He's headed to the back to help run slides today. Let me explain what we're going to do by setting it up with some scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was spent. He had just had a great victory, but it seemed to have done nothing to change the people, and he had run. He had hidden. God sent an angel to give him some strength, but finally the message came out of just pouring out of Elijah, saying, "I'm the only one. I'm the only one." God says, "I've got 7,000 more that you don't even know about." We start today a series called The Community of God. We're going to go through the book of Acts, and it's going to take us several months to do this. One of the reasons is that we are going to be stuck the first 2 months on the first two chapters, because we really want to look at what did the church look like when it was baptized by the Holy Spirit and was brand new. Because we all would agree that we, over the centuries, have failed to live up to what God has called us to be as a church. So why don't we go back and see what it looked like? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the apostles to go back to Jerusalem and to wait, for they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But what does that baptism look like? What does a group look like when it's baptized by the Holy Spirit? Well, Bob actually started reading that to us today in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And let's just have a quick look at that. Now, by the way, it's not up on slides because I didn't give them slides for this. In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42, and in fact, it's nowhere until I put glasses on. Oh, look, words. I thought I just brought a big lint ball up here. It was all very fuzzy. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the mighty wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were born into what? A body. A fellowshipping body. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we as a church are like a body. And that there are parts of the body that are very visible. And there are parts of the body that are not very visible. But all of them are very necessary. By the way, the AMA back in the 1930s put out a pamphlet on the vestigial organs in the human body. Those, in other words, organs we used to use back during our development sometime from pond scum, but don't use it now. If you were to take all those organs out, you would die, indicating maybe they were necessary. And they don't put out a brochure like that anymore, because every time they say that's vestigial, they find we're still using it. There are no vestigial organs in the church either. We need everyone here. Now, I've only been here for about 4.5 months. I know it seems like years and years and years. And dear Lord, will it never end? Come, Lord Jesus. But only 4.5 months. And during that time, I've found a couple of different voices that I hear repeatedly. One is, I'm doing this mission, and nobody knows I'm doing a mission. And I can't find any volunteers. And the other is, this church isn't doing anything. If this church knew what this church was doing, you would be too prideful and we'd have to have sermons on humility. So what we're going to do today is not a sermon. Please keep the shouts of hallelujah to a minimum. Not a sermon, but rather a beginning of an introduction. We're going to take a look at two different ministries here, among many ministries here. By the way, I don't think I've found all of them yet. It's going to take me a while to do that because people don't tend to bring it up until I run across what they're doing. We're going to take a look at a couple of ministries. And now, from now on, many of our Sundays are going to include something called a missional moment, when somebody will get up and talk for about 5 minutes about a ministry that they're doing, or how a ministry helped them, or how God is working in their life. One of those things, so that all of you can be aware that this is a living organism of Christ, that we are on move as a group, doing the will of God locally and also across the world. So an example of the local and across the world is what I want to do today. When I first got here, first Sunday I visited, Bobby got up here and announced something about Sunshine City. I don't know what that was. When I went out, there was a little barrier, kind of, and there was a Gandalf creature there. Thou shalt not pass, you know, one of those. And I didn't really know what was going on behind the curtain, shall we say. The more I hear about it, in fact, I sent my wife in, a spy, into the land of Judah. I sent my wife in and said, tell me what goes on in there. And she did. This church has a passion for our little children. And I want to bring up our children's minister now and have her talk to all of us about what goes on with our children and how we can help. Julie, would you come? There she is. Welcome, Julie, please, to the stage. We're glad you're here. That's yours. Yes. And remember, when you're talking to me, talk into that instead. All right? Fair enough. Walk us through what happens at Sunshine City and what this is all about. Give us an overview.
Okay. We have actually three different areas that we, on Sunday mornings, that are broken down in different age groups. So I'm going to start with our smallest one first. Our first one is our youngest kids that's birthed to 23 months. And we just recently renamed that area as Kids Cove. So you kind of have an identity with what that age group is. That age group has two different Bible classes during Bible class time. And then it also has an attended nursery during worship time. So that kind of gives you a mindset of what goes on with that age group. Now, our largest group that we had, like Patrick was saying, is our Sunshine City, and it encompasses our largest group of kids. We have 2-year-olds all the way through second grade in that age group. And kind of the way that program works on a Sunday morning is it starts with Bible class, and they transition through four different stations. It goes through Bible class and worship. The first station that they go to during Bible class is called Town Square, and it is a time, there's a picture there, it is a time where the kids can have worship on their own level. They are engaged in a time of singing energetic songs, they sing praise songs that we also sing here during worship so that they can eventually incorporate in here. They have a time of giving. If you ask pretty much any kid that's in there, they know that their money goes to Hope for Home, which is one of the ministries that's here, and they can tell you what it's about. They have prayer time, and they also have an intro into their Bible story for the week. That goes through Bible class. Then there are three remaining stations that they rotate through. The first station during the worship hour is Good News. And our Good News stand is where they really dive into the Bible story. They learn what the story means to their lives. They have a memory verse that they work on in there. And then they also have a time, a craft time. Now you can see Mary Muth there is one of our wonderful Good News teachers teaching in there. So that's one of the stations. The next station they rotate to is called Tumbletown. And this is a town or a station where they can burn off some energy. You know, that age, they've got to have a time to burn off some energy. So they are in there and they do an active activity where they can, it ties in with the Bible story, but they get some energy out. The last station that they rotate to is called Snack Shack. And that is where they watch a movie or a video on the Bible story for the day and then refuel with a snack. So that's kind of what our Sunshine City is. The last piece on our Sunday morning is we also have a 3rd through 5th grade Bible class that meets during Bible class time, and then those kids transition in here during worship to be with their kids or their parents. So.
One of the things, first of all, I think it's marvelous all that goes on, and the planning of this has to be huge. And one of the things that hit me the first week was this has to be labor intensive with a number of volunteers. How many people on an average Sunday?
It takes us from our nursery all the way down to our fifth grade anywhere from 25 to 30 people a week, and that's a lot. But we have so many different areas that you can be involved in. You want me to talk about the volunteers
Sure.
next? if there some of the different areas that you can be involved in, it can meet your needs in any different way. We have people like the town square that are really good at getting up and leading our kids, worshiping with them, having that fun time where they feel like they are really praising God. So, you know, people that feel comfortable getting in front of people. We have people that love to build those really strong relationships with kids, and those may be our city guides that take our different groups around to different stations, and they love on those kids, and they know them and what makes them tick and just really get involved in their lives. You know, with our nursery kids, you know, you may not want to be involved in our, you know, toddlers. Maybe that's not the age group you want, but we have our sweet little babies that you can love on, you know, during Bible class or during worship, and that is a very important piece of what we do. Maybe you don't want to be involved on Sunday morning in this aspect, but you are striving for somewhere to volunteer and serve. We are seeking people that are willing to come up here during the week, you know, maybe stay-at-home moms with school-age kids, empty nesters, that can do some of those behind-the-scenes stuff, like gathering materials, cutting things out, making copies, stuff like that. So it doesn't matter what your gift is, what your talent is, there is somewhere for you to be plugged in.
I would assume with 20 to 30 volunteers every Sunday, you're going to have a roster of about 90. Is that
pretty fair? Accurate? Yes.
Okay. So, how many more do you need?
Well, to make it to where people are not having to do it so frequently, I mean, we are asking for, you know, as many as we can get, obviously, but ideally to get, you know, somewhere between that 100, 120 mark would be absolutely wonderful.
So. Now, and be aware, if you're thinking, well, I'll miss worship and the like, we do put that on the web, and the more volunteers we have, the more frequently you can be rotated right back into here. And so again, a story which I'm going to tell real very quickly is, my father was a missionary, a great minister and a man of God, yet I'm in the church today mainly because of Bible class teachers. And I still have the little white Bible I was given in first grade by my Bible teacher. Those stories and those people and relationships kept me on. In fact, even did the guilt thing whenever I didn't want to disappoint them down the road. And so that's, remember that you're not stepping down when you step out of the worship to serve the children. You're stepping up. And I know that you're not resting where you are. You've gotten the Kids Cove is another group, a new branding. You're going to get another branding. That's not been done yet?
Our 3rd through 5th grade area, actually met with them this morning and to talk about names for their area, and they're very excited and very creative with stuff, so that is definitely in the works. So.
Okay, new branding for them. Good. They need their own identity. And there's a new curriculum.
There is. We have purchased a new curriculum that we are hopefully planning to start in March. And that curriculum is called 252 Basics. The scripture that there is up on the screen is what the entire curriculum is based around. So as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So everything that they do with their curriculum and Bible stories will incorporate around this scripture. But the other really neat thing about it is it pulls three truths that we want every kid to know by the time they leave fifth grade. And you can see them here. These truths will be drilled into their heads, and they should be able to know them with everything that they learn every week. So you can see them. I can trust in God no matter what. I need to make the wise choice, and I should treat others the way I want to be treated. So.
Excellent. Now, you've got a video about this. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we see the video?
I don't think so.
Okay. let me give a heads up to the elders. As this video only lasts a couple of minutes. At the end of the video, I'd like for the elders to be up here and the staff, and that include any of our volunteers that would like to join, so that we can have a prayer blessing over Julie and the children's ministry. So if you'd make your way up while we watch this video. Let's all, yes, please. Would you please stand while we have a prayer blessing? And any who wish to extend the hand may do so. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful gift children are, but what an incredible responsibility. We pray that you would help Julie and her team, that you would fill them with your spirit, that you would make their days easier and smoother, that you would rise up to the surface new volunteers with a passion for the next generation of faith. We pray, Father, for this new curriculum, for all the hard, intensive work that goes on here, that while we are here in worship and Bible class, that there are such a large team of volunteers that are with our children the whole time. We pray that you will be with them too in a mighty and wonderful way. Please protect, again, Julie and her team, their marriages, their health, their life, and their spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus, and the whole church says, amen. Thank you. And elders, I'm going to call you back up in about another 10 minutes. So this is exercise time for elders. Someone's very happy about the exercise time. We had a ladies' fitness group that met in our church at one place I served. And they were all members of that local body. And they would do aerobics in the foyer. And so I always made sure I wasn't in the office that day, because that was just not something I wanted to be a part of. But they referred to themselves as firm believers. I thought that was lovely. Yeah. Now, while this is all going on, there are many other works going on. And like I said, normally you'll have a sermon with a short missional moment. But I wanted to introduce this to you by letting you know this church is incredibly active here, but also overseas. We recently had a team just come back from Guatemala. And would you please come on up here? They're hard to spot. Come on up. Great. Would you welcome the team, please? And I guess you were voted spokesman. And it could have been by me because I ran up and grabbed you. I know you would love for it. We are going to hear from a couple more. Benita's here. Yay. Come on up. Benita has been passing out cookies after stabbing you. See, I always think of the cookies first, though. That's the thing. Anyway, you went to Guatemala. Is this your first time? I mean,
this is the third trip that we've had a team from Eastside go down to Guatemala, basically to support Kimmel and Lisa Dunham, the missionary family that's down there. So this is our second time to Chichi, which is where they're currently serving.
All right. And how long have the Dunhams been there? Do you know? 6 years?
6 years.
All right. Excellent. Yes. Now, I know nothing about Guatemala. My family served in South America, West Africa, and the like, but we never got into there. When you go down, tell me a little bit about your experiences, what the team does.
Okay. A part of the reason that we're going down, there's a threefold purpose for me as far as why we went down there. One is to allow members here at Eastside to experience Christianity in another culture besides the American culture here. And we get to worship with our brothers and sisters there in the Chichi area and see how they're doing. Secondly, because we're supporting the Dunhams, this is a way of encouraging them. When we come down there, for them, it's a family visit. And it's very important for them to feel that love and feel that relationship. And thirdly, it allows us to work and encourage the Guatemalan churches as we feel a community with them and a work effort with them. This time when we were down there, we took our resurrection celebration that we've done here at Eastside and brought that to the churches there. And we did the skits some of the drama presentation and a lot of crafts for the kids there. We are thankful to Susan Fry. She made the costumes, and some of them Guatemalan size, which is much different than ours. Donna Westlake and Pat Morgan spent countless hours on the crafts. So we were able to present the gospel in a way that the children there had not experienced. And as you see there, we had we would present it in English. We had a Spanish to Quiche translator. An English to Spanish translator, and then we had a Spanish to Quiche translator. So we kind of had three languages going on to get it communicated. The Guatemalan churches had not really seen the gospel presented in this way, and for the younger children, we often had their parents there too, which is the case when we have our resurrection celebration here. We're not only sharing it with the children, but we're sharing it quite a bit with the parents.
Well, and by the way, I just want to let you know, resurrection celebration is coming back this year. And we hope in a few weeks to have some of you back up to explain what that is, what you need, and the like from that during a missional moment. All right? Because it looked, again, I only saw pictures of it. And I saw a picture of Matt as an angel. So they're not going to type. You're able to play anything, even if it's completely opposed to what you're really like. But I saw that, and I was going, oh my goodness, this looks labor-intensive. And I imagine it was there with this, but I would also imagine that just blew their little minds.
Yes, it did. They were very excited. The crafts especially, you can see some of the kids there wearing the headbands. And just the enthusiasm of our Guatemalan partners. Here I've got Marcus with me. He's a dentist. And just his enthusiasm of wanting to share the gospel with the young children there and making sure that they were attentive and listening.
Something which the church may not know, a tipping point occurred about 8 years ago. There are now more members of the church overseas than there are in America. And in fact, within 10 years, we expect there to be more members in Africa alone than in America. One of the reasons this is so important is that sometime in our grandchildren's lives, we may very well get missionaries from Guatemala come to America. That's the way this works in the cycles of nations. So these short-term missions are also, in some ways, looking after our own self-interest, keeping the faith alive one day when it's their turn to come to us with this. I'm a Scotsman, so I got to ask, this sounds expensive. Where does the money come from?
We were thankful to many of you for your support, and most of the team members were just kind of raising money, and you guys were very, very much a part of helping us with that. Many of you contributed crayons and other supplies that we took down. We could not do it without your support.
That's terrific. So. And pretty much, did anybody who want to go get to go as a rule? Or
I don't know that we turned anyone down.
Excellent.
Our plan is to return in 2013. And much as you've developed the curriculum here for Sunshine City, our goal for 2013 is to go down and, in essence, have a teacher's workshop for the church leaders down there, and also to kind of help them develop a curriculum for their children. Because children's education is not something that's prevalent in Guatemala. They're just now seeing the benefit of that. And to a large degree, at least in the Chichi area, we've been very much a part of helping them introduce that.
That's terrific. Absolutely terrific. I'm so proud of all of you. And I ask you to bring us a couple of stories or statements. Is there anything you wanted to say before we get to those?
I'm good with that.
All right.
Mary Jo?
Let me straighten this up a little bit because I'm obsessive compulsive and it's driving me nuts. There we are.
The main thing that I wanted to share with the family here was several of you have asked, I think I would like to do this. I don't know. I'm kind of scared. Believe me, I was scared too. This is my second trip. And once you're with Alan and Benita in the group, you have no concerns. I never once felt unsafe. It's a very, very safe place to go. You can feel comfortable sending your children. Some people say, I'm too old. I can't do that. Or, it just costs too much money. Let me tell you, I did the math before I came up here. And if you started right now and saved less than $2 a day, you can go in 2013. $2 a day. And the other thing I want to say about that is that was probably my primary thing that I wasn't sure about the first trip I went. And I will tell you this, if you give people the opportunity to bless you, they will. Many of you have purchased my jewelry out here. I've had people come up, and you know who you are as soon as I say this. They'll walk past the bake sale table and they'll say, okay, I'm not supposed to eat this stuff. And they'll just throw a $20 bill or a $50 bill or something like that in. And one of the things that people say is, well, I don't have a skill to go and do anything. I'm a dental hygienist, and that is a skill, but I did things other than that. This much I can tell you. If you have a heart for the people in Guatemala or to go and encourage Kimmel and Lisa, God has a job for you to do. And it's a job that only you can do. It may not be dental hygiene. That's what I thought I was going to do. Big, big surprise. The other thing I'd like to say is that I believe that we are blessed in this world. And we are blessed for a reason. And I think that that reason is to be a blessing to someone else. So we are blessed to be a blessing. And let this be not necessarily just Guatemala, but if you have a stirring in your heart right now as you're hearing these stories, talk to one of us. We will tell you more stories about how God is willing and able to use you. And the people there love you. The people there send their love to you because they are overwhelmed that we would come from America to encourage them. So that's what happened.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share a quick story about a young man that made an impression on me. 18-year-old boy, young man in Guatemala named Noé. The second day of the program, and this were the ABC kids that came to Chichi, Jake and I had the 8 to 10-year-old boys, had about 40 boys in our class, and Noé was our helper. Not really a translator, because he could not speak English, but that day we were celebrating his graduation from the ABC program, and he was going on to be a teacher. And what made an impression on me was his passion and enthusiasm. You can actually see him in the orange and white shirt on the left side of that picture. And to know that without this ABC program, here's a young man that might not have had the opportunity to graduate and to become a teacher. This program does a lot for these young men and women. And he, in one of the sessions, we just had some coloring pages. There were four pictures of Christ entering Jerusalem on the donkey, Christ with his disciples, the cross scene, and then an empty tomb. And in my terrible Spanish, I could say burro, and I could say la cruz, and I could say tumba. But that was about it. And he just picked it up without any prompting and said, can I explain? And he looked at those pictures and talked for 10 minutes and had those young boys just sponges taking it in. And I could see the passion that he had for teaching and to know that this program is going to allow him that opportunity. He's going to be a real leader in his church and in his community because of this program. If any of you are interested in this program, there are sponsorships. There are more kids available. I think in 17 years, they've grown from 15 kids to almost 700 kids. I think it's $35 a month. If you have any interest in that, see Alan, Benita, see myself. And I know some of you already do sponsor. And I want you to know that it is going to a great cause. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Elders, could I have you up here, please? Could I have our elders and staff members that would like to join, or family members that would like to join them on stage for a prayer blessing? Oh, there's another. Please, come on up. Yeah.
So Alan asked me to talk about one of the experiences that I had. I was teaching the 14 to 19-year-old boys, and so we were doing prayer journals as part of that. And my gut, we'd have them write down some verses and write down some personal prayers of their own, and then we'd send them off for a half hour or so to go pray. And it's an area kind of like our lawns out here where there's a few little trees and stuff like that. And I expected from, you know, my times going on wilderness trek or things like that, that everybody would find their own little tree and sit there and whatnot. And that wasn't the case at all. And it really moved me. They would go, there was a walled in, the whole area that we were in was walled in, and they'd go up to those cinder blocks, and you can see it here, and just put their heads against the wall and pray for half an hour, and just be completely focused on the prayers that they were praying for their family, for their friends. I mean, this was a very deeply personal thing for them, and you could tell in their, maybe not in their whole lives, but they certainly didn't get the chance to sit down and just pray and focus solely on that. And that was really impactful to me, because when we saw it, I asked Juan Carlos, my translator, did you tell them to go pray with their heads against the wall? And he's like, no, that's just how they pray. When they really need to dig down deep, they go where there's them, God, and a brick wall and nothing. No distractions, just you and God. And that was really powerful for me. So
that's amazing. Thank you.
One other thing you have to realize, in Guatemala, school for a lot of these children out in the villages is a luxury or a privilege, not something that is expected. By 10 years old, they're out working with machetes in the field. So this ABC program helps bring them in, and so they have a thirst for knowledge that is amazing, and the adults too. And so when I explain something and I say, would you like me to read the verse again? They're all, yes, 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 please read the verse again, which is, you don't see that with kids, you know, in America so much. And when I explained a really simple cross that I pulled out, kind of an origami type thing, it wasn't just the kids that were interested, the adults. An older gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, teach me that, you know, in all in Spanish, you know, teach me that so I can teach other people. And sat there and really learned how to fold it and really learned, labeled everything. They're just so eager to learn.
It's amazing. Thank you. Can I ask a question about the ABC? Is there ever a formal sign-up table? Do you ever do that?
We have brochures in the back. Okay. Our trip 2 years ago, we actually were signing up some of the kids, the Joneses, and we got to actually meet the kids that we sponsor and the families and talk to them. So that's a fun experience there. Matt, can you get to the last picture? Didn't mean to wake you up there.
Longer than 15 seconds.
So Patrick opened the door for stories, so we had a bunch of people wanting to jump in. Thank you. This to me is the story, though. Just Kimmel's smile and interaction with the Guatemalans and their smile back. We couldn't have a better couple to serve that community. It's a joy to go down and work with them, but the smile you see there is genuine. Does it mean it's always great? No, they've got frustrations. There's, you know, just like anywhere, there's things they work through. But for the most part, the love you see there on Kimmel's face is also there on Lisa's, and it's also returned in the faces of the Guatemalans. So just to let you know, this is the work we're supporting here and down there, and they always like emails in any correspondence. But this is the story, I think, that you see here, is just that love between us and the Guatemalans.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much for sharing your stories and for doing your mission. We'd like to have a prayer blessing over you. And again, would you stand? And after this prayer, if you'd remain standing, because we're going to have a song and a quick benediction, and we'll be done for the day. All right? So again, we're going to have a prayer blessing. If you wish to extend a hand of blessing, please do so. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for those who go. Thank you for those who give. Thank you for those who serve on the field, like Kimmel and Lisa. We pray that we will be the body of Christ, so we will be concerned about our brothers and sisters in Guatemala, about our brothers and sisters in Zambia, and our brothers and sisters here in the Springs. Help us to be a people that cry with each other and rejoice with each other. And our prayer is a prayer of blessing over the entire Guatemala mission people and upon the entire people that have heard because of them. We pray that the stories will stay in them and become part of them and breed faith within them. We pray that the world will change because of trips like these. And Father, protect all of these missionaries of ours. Give them your spirit. Smooth the road out ahead of them. Keep them healthy and protect their families so that they may once again pack and head to the airport and go spread the word. In the name of Jesus, the whole church says, amen. Thank you.